This morning, we are installing the new deacons here at Eastside. The elders asked this congregation a few weeks ago to look among you and select some men that were qualified to be deacons. It's not something that is taken lightly. It's taken from the Scripture. From 1 Timothy, the third chapter, in verse 8, says, "Likewise, the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." These are the kind of things that deacons had to be a part of their life. They first were to be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And it gives some other things for their wives as well. You chose some men from this congregation, some good men. And this morning they're going to say a few words to you. And some of them are out of town that will not be able to be here today due to work or other things that could not be here. Brent Horn had to be out of town, as well as Mike Ogles. These other men, we want to have them to come and speak for you just a few moments. And at the end, Tim will finish up with a lesson and invitation. As I call these men, I'd like for them to come on up and sit on the front row, if you would, please. Craig Calvert. Craig is a young man who has shown forth himself to be a good man. Comes from a good family. His father worshiped with us, and we are thankful for them and the teaching that he has gained from them. I'm sure has made a vast difference in his life, as it should. Gary Boyd. Gary has come to us in the last few years and has shown forth himself to be a godly man. Works well with people in the congregation here, and has endeared himself to many of us. Greg Nix. Greg has been with us a few years. That has also endeared himself to us. He's worked well with all of you in work here with the church as well. Mike Bryant. Mike comes to us in the last few years from the Oakland congregation. He worked with them extensively, and we are certainly happy to have Mike as one of our new deacons as well. Mike Ogles, of course, is out of town. Scott Abernathy. Scott's grandfather, and many of you old-timers will remember, along with myself. I'm not an old-timer, but Brother Herbert Abernathy was one of the elders here for several years before he passed away. And we are certainly glad that Scott is one of our new deacons. It's kind of ironic. Years ago, Mike Ogles and Scott Abernathy ran together in track. And as they ran across the finish line, they ran together, best I remember. Is that not right? Not right. I'm sorry. I got it wrong then. But anyway, I was thinking that was the way it went. But anyway, I'm glad he corrected me. We're glad to have Scott as one of our new deacons. Tracy Moyers. Tracy is one of the young men who is a product of work by Gary Fisher and others who have worked with the congregation here. Tracy has shown forth himself to be a good, faithful young Christian, and we are certainly glad to have him as one of our deacons here. Tim Richter. Thought I was going to get through this. Tim is the third generation of the Richters to serve here in Eastside. And we're certainly thankful for that. It's a great thing for your father and your son to be part of the congregation here at Eastside. Of course, many of you remember that. Well, some of you remember, not many of you, but some of you remember when Eastside started. It started at Sunset, and my father was one who helped start it. And we're certainly glad that we can carry on the tradition of being a part of serving this congregation. The congregation here is very blessed to have good men. And we have a lot of men here who are doing work that they're not classified as deacons, but they're doing a good work. And we certainly, as the elders, appreciate so much that work. And we hope you'll continue to do that. There's going to be time in the future that we're going to need more deacons and more elders. And we hope that you'll continue to work and strive towards that end. This morning, each of these men will speak for just a few minutes, and then Tim will extend the invitation at the end. We'll begin with Craig Calvert this time.
Met with the elders last Sunday evening. It's when we were all asked to say a few things for a few minutes. And most of you know me well enough that public speaking is not my best trait. But I thought, what will I say? And I thought about it all week long. What will I say? But I went back to something that Ralph had mentioned in the meeting. And he looked up and he just said, just say what's in your heart. And that stuck with me. So I'd like to do that at this time. Just a few things that I have on my mind. I'd like to say a special thank you to our elders for the effort that they put forth and in the oversight here in this congregation. Your efforts don't go unnoticed by all of us here. I have a great amount of respect for each and every one of you. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." And I believe you're doing a good work. I also thought about Bob and Sandra. Bob's not here with us today. The example they've been to us, to my family and myself, over the years they've worked here with us. They've helped me to have a deeper understanding for the truth. You have a love for the Lord and a desire to help us know God. And that's made a great impression on me. Thank you. And I want everyone to know here how special each and every one of you are to me, my family and myself, everyone. Some of you have known me for more than 25 years now. And you've continued to be good examples and good friends all through these years. We're really blessed here at Eastside, and we need to thank God and every day for the friendships that we share here with one another. And I want you all to know that serving as a deacon here is a responsibility that I do take seriously. And I do hope that you will keep myself, my family, in your prayers, as well as all the other deacons, our elders, and each other, as we work here together and serve the Lord. I'd like to read from Joshua chapter 24. Starting in verse 14. This is Joshua as he was near the end of his life, speaking to the people of Israel. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And my hope and prayer is that we all will put God first in our lives and work together and serve Him. Thank you.
A couple of weeks ago, Brother Bob talked about the word deacon and the word diakonos. And it basically means to minister, to serve, and one who assists others. And we really can't think of that word without thinking about the greatest servant of all, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He came down in Philippians chapter 2, and it says that He took on the form of a servant. And in humility, He learned to be obedient. In Matthew chapter 20, when the sons of Zebedee came to Him and wanted an exalted place, Jesus spoke to them in verse 26, and it says, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." And so Jesus came to serve. We as Christians are here to serve God. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about us being a living sacrifice. And that just as the body has many members and yet each one has its own individual purpose, the church also has that. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For as many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And so we are all servants if we love God and if we want to put Him first in life. And so we are all in this capacity as servants. And yet as God has set up the church, He has specifically set up certain roles and functions. The roles of elders to shepherd the church. The roles of evangelists. The roles of teachers. The roles of deacons. Today, the elders are appointing myself and these other men as deacons. And I can assure you that as I humbly accept this role of responsibility, each and every man here that I know takes upon this as a form of humility. Realizing that, as Brother Bob said, it's not a title, but it's a role. And so we all request the prayers that we can fulfill these roles to the glory of God. And that's what we're all here for, the glory of God. We continue to request the prayers for the elders as they lead this congregation. Request the prayers for Brother Waldron as he guides our minds in teaching. Request the prayers for the teachers who are teaching our children. Request the prayers for each and every one of us as we strive to do what God would have us to do. I too, and probably every one of these men, were thinking all week, what am I going to say? Wednesday night, in the Foundations class, we read through Galatians. And we were reading in chapter 6, and a couple of verses just kind of popped out at me, and it kind of got me to thinking. Chapter 6 of Galatians is really an exhortation of Paul, and really he's trying to build them up to encourage one another. And he starts out and he says, you know, if one is taken away in a trespass, build him up. Bear one another's burdens. That's service. That's being a servant. Verse 3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And that was one of the verses that kind of struck home to me, is I need to realize that this is a very important and a very serious responsibility. And I don't take it lightly. And I don't think any one of these men take it lightly. We think about Philippians chapter 2 and 3 and 4 where it says, don't be conceited and don't try and gain something for vain conceit, but look out for others. That's being a servant. And then going down in verse 9 and verse 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's my prayer, that I can do good to those of the household of faith. I'd like to close with a short saying written by an individual named Babcock. It says, Christianity is not a voice in the wilderness, but a life in the world. It is not an idea in the air, but feet on the ground, going God's way. It is not an exotic to be kept under glass, but a hardy plant to bear 12 months of fruits in all kinds of weather. Fidelity to duty is its root and branch. Nothing we can say to the Lord, no calling Him by great or dear names, can take the place of the plain doing of His will. We may cry about the beauty of eating bread with Him in His kingdom, but it is wasted breath and a rootless hope unless we plow and plant in His kingdom here and now. To remember Him at His table and to forget Him at ours is to have invested in bad securities. There is no substitute for plain, everyday goodness.
I'd like to begin by reading a couple of passages, some that actually Gary pointed out further on in Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 10, continuing the thought that Gary had, it states to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Also in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 13, we read, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, as we were reviewing this today in the Foundations class, we saw verse 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Throughout the New Testament, we are commanded to love one another and to serve one another. This love is evident here at Eastside. And Kimberly and I are happy to be part of the work here. And we've been encouraged by you and have learned much from you all. And I realize that as a deacon, that I understand that I am to be the servant, to live a life that doesn't bring reproach upon the church here, as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as to do this in love, as we've read these verses, in love and service to each other. It's not a self-serving role, as has been mentioned, and I'm sure will continue to be mentioned. This isn't one that we ourselves hold ourselves high in. It is a role of service to others, but also to the Lord. I do look forward in serving in this role, assisting the elders here with the physical needs of the congregation, and I ask that you continue to pray not only for the elders, but for us and our families, as we will all be praying for you, as we all strive to serve God acceptably with reverence and in godly fear.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to speak. And I appreciate our elders, six great men in my estimation. And it's quite unique that at this time this congregation has six elders and five deacons. And yet nine more are joining them. These five deacons have had their hands full with these 200-something people. And I'm honored to get the opportunity to help. And I'm real pleased that there are so many men that could have been chosen for this position. Truly a great number. It truly is a testament to how these men were raised up, how their teachers taught them, how their mothers raised them, how their fathers taught them from the Word of God, how they were led by preachers in Christ Church and directed by elders. Truly, it's a good thing to see and to be a part of. As I was thinking about what I was going to say, I went back and looked at some men that were called to aid in Acts 6. They were deacons in a sense, maybe not in the sense we're being set up as Paul directed Timothy to set them up, but these six men were set up. And I read through how Stephen, one of those that full of Holy Spirit, had to testify before the council of Jews and ended up losing his life for it. And I read on and read about Philip, who went out of Jerusalem when the church was dispersed there and into Samaria. And what drew my attention is the work he did and some of the attitudes of some of his converts. You know, he went into Samaria, he met up and was preaching there. He's doing many great works, and there was a man by the name of Simon, who was a sorcerer, who liked the praise of men, but he was converted and was baptized and became a member of the church. Eventually, John and Peter came, this is in Acts chapter 8, came to bestow some of the Holy Spirit on some of the members there, some of the people there in Samaria. And Simon saw this,
I looked at his motive, a motive I don't want to have. I don't think any of these men have. But in verse 18, he says, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You neither have part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God.'" I asked him to go ahead and repent. And Simon asked for them to pray for him that he might be forgiven. Philip then went and met another man, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was in charge of the treasury. And he had been to Jerusalem and was on his way back. And Philip ran up to him, met him on the chariot, and found out that he was reading from Scripture. And asked him where he was reading, and the eunuch told him, and Philip explained Jesus to him. And the attitude of this Ethiopian eunuch is the attitude that I wish to have, and I think these other men do too. Because when Philip had preached Jesus to him and went down the road, the eunuch saw water and said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" I'm not interested in the conversion. I don't want to talk about the conversion, but the motive that he had, the thoughts, his attitude. Here's an opportunity for me, for these men and the men already serving. No matter what I've got going on in my life, I need to put it down and find time to help with the Lord's work. And in doing so, I ask for your help. I ask that your prayers, that my motives are always true. That I or none of these other men seek self-glorification in any of this. But truly, as been mentioned before, to be a servant to you. To be a servant to the others. And more importantly, be a servant to Christ and to God.
I could just say amen to all the things that have been said. A lot of the things that have been said are things that I had in mind as well. I consider it a great honor to have been selected, and I want you to know that I very soberly considered it. And when God puts forth qualifications, it's a very serious matter, and certainly I want you to know that. And I'm certainly grateful to Him that He's blessed me in the way that He has, to be able to be at this point in life, to be qualified for this work. He's blessed me with a very good family, good wife, good children, and I'm grateful for that. And Freddie mentioned one of my grandparents. All of my grandparents were very good influences. I have one remaining grandfather right now who's 92, and his mind is still very sharp in a lot of ways, and he still is spiritually minded about a lot of things. And when we talk, and we talk regularly, we talk about spiritual things. And I've often thought about, just in the course of growing up, what if I did something that would disappoint him? And I hope that all of us can live in such a way that we would be that kind of person. And my parents as well. They set very good examples. This process makes you really self-examine yourself. And it is a thing that, you know, you will find yourself looking at things that you need to improve on, and I find things that I need to improve on, and I think we all do when we do this kind of thing. And I got to thinking about that, and in the course of thinking about that, I thought about the covenant in which we live, the contrast between the covenant in which we live now versus the covenant that they had in the Old Testament, where there was a remembrance of sins. The book of Hebrews goes into this a good bit. Hebrews chapter 10 is the one I'm thinking of. The relationship that we have with God, that we can go to God through Christ and ask for forgiveness and have forgiveness, immediate forgiveness. And it's a wonderful thing that we live in. In verse 16 of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them." And he says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Of course, we live in that covenant now, that we have that ability. And it's a great thing. And a process, again, of self-examining yourself. You find yourself thinking about that, or I did. So many of the things that I thought of have already been said, and I won't go over each one, but I do solicit your prayers on behalf of myself and the other deacons and on behalf of my family. Of course, we have a young one at home, and me having responsibilities here will mean that my wife will probably have to do some additional things to help support that in terms of keeping things at home. And that was at one point a concern of mine and perhaps others, but I do believe this is something I can do, and I do ask for your prayers in that regard. Being in close proximity to the building, I think, will help offset that to some degree. And I know there are things that have to be done here. Of course, that's not the limit of the kind of responsibilities that are assigned to deacons. I do pray that, and I ask and hope that all of us will be able to serve in a way that will be pleasing to God first and foremost. But I also pray that we'll be able to serve in a way that you'll be approving, that you'll approve of, and that and it's already been said, and I want to say again, there are so many good men here, many of which I also consider to be qualified, that for whatever reason weren't selected this time. And I hope that as the time goes on, that they'll be able to serve, and they'll be at a point in life where they can, and the work here will grow. And that's something that I look forward to, Lord willing. And also pray, I had another note here, that you know, when you're assigned a responsibility, you have to be reliable in it. It's not just a matter of obtaining the status of deacon or whatever the word there is. I'm having trouble finding the word, but you know, these are responsibilities that are given. And when the elders met with us last Sunday night and we were presented a spreadsheet of all these different things that were going on, I did not realize the number of things that were going on to in large degree and the number of people who were doing them. And I was impressed by the amount of work that was being done by the current deacons. And I know that they do need help. And I hope that this will be able to lessen the burden on them. Thank you.
As I consider what to stand before you and say, first, I guess I'll start with dittos to everything that's been said, or as Scott put it better, amen. I thought about the passages that I could read, and I come to the conclusion, and I was correct, that most of the men before me have, it's kind of rough having a name lower in the alphabet, but the men before me have put terrific passages before us to consider. I have three words that I would like to put for you that I think characterizes my attitude and the attitude of these others as we go forward in this work. First is that of gravity. The gravity of the work, of the situation. First, to examine ourselves, are we qualified to do the work that we're being asked to do? And then the gravity of the work, to remain qualified to rule ourselves and our homes in such a way to remain faithful and remain qualified to serve. Also, it's a fearful experience to take on any additional work within for the Lord, whether it be that of deacon, teaching, preaching. It's a fearful thing, the responsibility that comes with any act in the work of the Lord. It's also a fearful thing to know that our abilities and our diligence will directly affect how well the plans of the elders that have set forth for this congregation is carried out. They can put forth the plans, but it is our abilities and our diligence in carrying those out that will have a direct impact on the worship of this congregation and also in the work that this congregation does to teach the lost and our members here. So it is with gravity, I think, we enter. The next word I have is joy. It is with great joy that I stand before you and that I look forward to entering the work and assist the elders and the other deacons that are before us. I, too, looked at the list and the work that's being done and the work that's being divided between five people. And the word I would say was overwhelming. It takes a lot of work to keep things running so that every service is edifying to God. I also look forward to serving you as you have served me so much in the past. The third word, you may have to bear a little patience with me emotionally. But the third word is gratitude. First, gratitude to God to bring me the truth and to appoint life in which I could do this and serve in this way. Second, it's a great honor to be around excellent men, has been mentioned before, the six elders that rule this congregation. They are fine men. They're intelligent and they're spiritually minded and they're looking out for my soul and yours. Gratitude to my wife for helping and raising a family that would help me first to be qualified and going forward to remain qualified. And also, much appreciation to you, the members here. I cannot believe you being, I cannot with words express the encouragement and the confidence I received, though I think being the youngest of the men that has put forth the great confidence and encouragement that I have received from each of you as you approached me and showed confidence in me. Also, something that I don't share with these men before me, my past, some 14 and a half years ago, I was spending bouncing around from one denominational group to another, visiting with one person, then yet another. But through much of the work of, as Freddie pointed out, Gary Fisher, and then through much work from many that I look upon right here in this audience, I found the truth. It was here. I found the truth. You didn't address my questions of what should I do in this situation, or why does the ladies wear coverings, or why do we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You didn't answer those questions with, well, we've always done it this way, or here's what our religion believes, or here's what our faith believes. You addressed it with, please turn to the book of Acts. Please turn to the chapter 2. And please turn to verse, whatever the question was. Read to me, what does it say? And with there I found my answer. I grew up with a good family that I love dearly. But I have gained a family here that has brought me the truth. So it is that gratitude that I bring. And my prayer is first that you'll pray for me, my family, and these men. But also, I thank you, and my prayer is that of thanksgiving to you, as your teaching and your work has brought me to this place in life in relatively short years. And I pray that you'll be with me as I go forward. Pray for me. But it is with great joy that anything I can do to serve first God, then under these elders, but anything that I can do to serve you, I will be happy to. Thank you.
As we wrap this up, I want to add my thanks to you. I have quite a history with this congregation. I've been here all of my life. 33 years, except for one brief departure. And I want to say thank you for encouraging me, for supporting me, and for a time physically and monetarily supporting me and my family. We chose to go off for a little while. You have been a stronghold for me. I want to thank my family, my wife, my parents. You know, I have my parents, my family, extended family, cousins who are here, uncles and aunts, and, you know, a lot here who have been strong influences on me. But, you know, one thing about that, physical family is tremendously special with love that we have for each other. But the most important thing, and that's why we're here, and that is our relationship with God. And it may be that you don't have, you know, that family, the ties and things like that some of us here have. But you need to know, and I want you to understand that the relationship that you and I, that we each have with God, the blessings that He provides for us, are the most important things. And above all, the chance to, the opportunity to live with Him for eternity. And in this group right here, you know, I've been here and known all of you for a long time. That's not going to be anything unless we're together in eternity. That's the most important. And that's what I look forward to. We've talked about serving. And you have supported and served me in a way in my life. And I'm happy to serve and serve and help and assist in any way that I ever can. As a deacon or as a brother in Christ or as a friend. And Jesus, obviously, is our example for that, who served us. And it's, you know, as He came and left everything, all the beauty, the home, the relationship, everything that He had in heaven, He left that and came to this earth so that He could serve. And He served in a way that probably most of us won't be asked to do. And that He gave His life, the ultimate sacrifice, so that you and I can be here. So that we have the opportunity to be a point, to be, you know, for each of us to be put in as deacons. Why are we doing all this? It's because we're following God's Word. We're doing what our Father's will is. And in the way this church is organized, we've simply followed the Bible. It's nothing we've come up with on our own. We've just followed the Bible. The Bible gives us everything that we need. It gives us how to find life, how to find happiness, how to seek salvation that is there for us. And that's what we have now. The opportunity for you and for me to consider ourselves and our relationship with God. If it is a relationship that needs improving, then we pray together to help each other and to assist and to serve each other in improving that relationship. If that relationship is just starting and you're just now seeing the things that you need to do to become a Christian, to become a part of a family, it's not a physical, it's an eternal, it's a spiritual family that we become a part of. If there's anyone in this congregation who's here today who does not know those blessings, does not know that relationship, and God has told us that if we believe, if you repent of the things that you've done wrong, to change, to commit to living for Him, you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, then be baptized. Baptism will save us. And we have that opportunity to do so now as we stand and sing.